Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gutapi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a Swangles
and I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the CS hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior.
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Rockfin, Rumble, Band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. We couldn't do it without you. If you want to connect with me, the new website is macroaggressions.io. You can go check it out over there, find everything that you need to know about the show and the books and the new radio show and all that good stuff over there, macroaggressions.io. The link is going to be in the show notes as well. Big thanks to our sponsors. It's that time of year, beginning of the year, and you're going to start thinking about your health. You might even have gotten yourself a gym membership. Very good. Good. You've got to do something. You got to start somewhere. And if you are looking for supplements that actually work, well, I've got two options for you. They've been with this show for a long, long time. Let's start with C60 Purple Power. You can go to their website, shopc60.com, and take a look around and see what you find. But the carbon 60 molecule is amazing. The scientist team that found it, discovered it in the late 80s, won the Nobel Prize for it. It's the most powerful antioxidant known to mankind. It's hundreds of times more powerful than anything else out there, but nobody knows about it. And it's expensive to make, so the products aren't cheap. You definitely are going to want to use the promo code MACRO over there at shopc60.com, but take a look at it. It helps lift the oxidation burden on your cells, helps your cells take out the trash more effectively. So you're going to need that. I suggest you go over and read a little bit about it. You'll find it's a really fascinating molecule. And Ken, the scientist, and his team at C60 Purple Power are making the best stuff out there. So go over and take a look. ShopC60.com on your way out. If you want to use the promo code MACRO, please do. It'll save yourself a little bit of money. These statements and products have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, prevent, or mitigate any disease. Also, allegedly works for your pets too. So my cat's been on it for a long time. She loves it. Every morning she licks the spoon. So take a look, see what you think. If you've got alien pets, it's something to consider. Also, chemical-free body. Look, I don't know what else to tell you. Their products work. That's amazing. That should be the bare minimum, you would think. But in the vitamin and supplement industry, unfortunately, it's not. There's a lot of stuff out there that doesn't do anything. But chemical-free body is building fantastic products that actually work. You can go over to their website, take a look for yourself. You can find the Pat Miletich formula, Super Soldier. You can get the detox bundle. It's the beginning of the year. Maybe give yourself an oil change, you know, a little home oil change with the detox bundle. It's green 85, the scoop, and you put it in water, stir it up and drink it. It's like that, like normal, which I do every day with my green 85. The only difference is that there's four extra containers, gut detox, toxin detox, ultra enzymes, and probiotics. And those are all capsules. And you take three of these and three of those and two of those and one of those. And you just do that every morning for 90 days and that's it. So it's real easy. And you'll have amazing results. At least I had amazing results, results that were so alarming that I had to buy new shorts because of it. And I do not have weight to lose. And I was losing weight anyway. So listen, I don't know if that'll happen to you. I don't have a crystal ball. It happened to me and I wasn't trying for it to happen to me. So if this is the year you want to give yourself maybe a little kickstart, get some supplements that work, go to chemicalfreebody.com, use the promo code macro there to save some money. And maybe get yourself in shape for Mexico. Are you coming? Are you coming to an Acapulco? February 11th through the 16th, Acapulco, Mexico, the largest anarchist conference in the entire world. It's been going on. This will be the 10th anniversary of it. I will be your host and MC for the week. Come and use this as your invitation. Get out from wherever you are. Get on a plane. Let's go to Mexico. Meet some interesting people. Have some adventures that you'll never be able to buy in a store. And get out there and do it. And if you go to anarchapulco.com, the promo code over there is macro. That'll save you some money. I really do hope to see you as we move into, I don't know, uncertainty. Can we call 2024 the year of uncertainty? I mean, we're here at the beginning stages of it. And I'm sure in retrospect, at the end of this year, we'll be doing a yearly wrap up and we'll look back and we'll laugh at how wrong we got it all. But I'm not going to do the prediction as to what's coming. But I do want to talk to you about something that is speculative. And I don't, I'll do all the disclaimers in advance about how I'm not trying to, you know, talk this into existence or anything like that. But I don't, you know, like a lot of this stuff, I don't think it matters. It's not like I'm giving these lunatics any ideas that they haven't thought up themselves, you know. But I want to talk to you about this concept of a second American Civil War. Now, it's been kind of a joke for a few years, you know. There's a great OBDM clip of Alex Jones screaming, "We're in World War IV," you know? And so it's like, it does kind of feel like, you know, like we're in, like we skipped World War III and went straight to World War IV, you know, or that there is a, you know, there's a civil war coming. Tim Pool talks a lot about it. I mean, he was kind of like half joking at first. And then the more he talked about it, the more he was like, it might really be coming, you know? And so, but let's talk about it because I don't want us to be caught off guard with this stuff. And I understand that the first American Civil War, I mean, it's gotten a lot of talk in the news over the last couple of weeks. Nikki Haley's like, well, you know, it wasn't really about slavery and everything. And everyone's like, how dare you say that? It was all about slavery. It's like, fuck, it's like maybe the only thing that I agree with Nikki Haley about, it wasn't about slavery. There's a justification for it. And it sounds good in history books when you're trying to paint yourself as the good team that was really concerned about slavery. It wasn't about that. I mean, so it was about a variety of things. And slavery was a component of it, but the people that owned slaves were like a very, very small percentage. And I'm not going to turn this into some sort of original American 1950s Civil War dissertation or anything like that. But I only say that because I want to set the stage for this, that, and if there were to be another American Civil War, history will be written about it totally different than what, you know, what would have actually happened. They'll say it was about something when it was about something else, much like they did about slavery. Could slavery have been part of the Civil War? Of course. Yeah, of course. And I would say it was part of it. But there were states' rights issues, there were tariff issues, there was the North and the South had issues with each other for a long, long time. And of course, you know, slavery sort of makes it a nice, easy bow to put on it and say, well, the Civil War was about slavery, period, end of story. That's, the, you know, we simplify it. But much like any conflict, it's not just about one thing. It's a accumulation of incidents of, lies of injustices that pile up on one another until something happens. There's a spark and then it all kicks off. Now, I'm not trying to start a civil war. I don't want one to happen, because if there's one thing I do understand about this is that there's the law of unintended consequences, and you start down some path and you think it's going to be contained, and then it breaks containment. And then you think it's going to be, it's only going to impact these people, and then it winds up impacting your family. Or you think it's only going to be, oh, it's about the whites versus the blacks. And then it impacts the Hispanics. And you go, well, it wasn't supposed to be about them. Well, that's the problem with war, is that once it starts, communication breaks down, intentions break down, bad people that have always wanted to do bad things have an opportunity to do bad things. And under the shield of oh, I'm on the good team. And so I think it's worth us talking about this. Now, I wouldn't be saying, if we were having this conversation in 2022, I wouldn't be saying this. We wouldn't be doing this episode. But the reason why we're doing this episode is there is an overwhelming amount of predictive programming that is talking about an impending civil war. And it feels kind of a little bit like a feedback loop, where you start the process, you start talking about civil war a little bit, and then other people start talking about it. In this case, let's just say a Tim Pool or somebody like that with a big audience, and they start talking about it, and then it gets in your brain, and then you start talking about it, and next thing you know, it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Well, in 2023, we saw a ton of predictive programming about that. Now, some of it could just be the discussions about the predictive programming, and that, you know, kind of feeds into this whole thing. But you don't need, you know, you can watch the trailers for some of these movies that are coming out, and you can see it for yourself. You could know nothing about an impending concept of a second American Civil War. Watch one of these movie trailers and go, this is like, they're flat out talking about civil war. So, look, I think we see that this predictive programming is there for a particular reason. And we understand that the reason it serves some sort of purpose, it gets us to consider the possibilities. Maybe we just have the conversation about what a civil war would look like. And it introduces this into the public consciousness. And then it starts to get talked about. And then it starts to get talked about on the media. Then it starts talked about, well, are we going to start this civil war next week, the week after that, or 3 weeks from now? And, you know, and then anti-war voices are like, hey, nobody says we have to start this at all. But you understand that's kind of how the process would work. You've got these movies coming out talking about California and Texas being breakaway republics, or I don't know if they're necessarily republics, breakaway states that have turned against the federal government. We've got talk of the Greater Idaho Project. We've got talk about California breaking apart. That's been talked about for a long, long time. So it's not, you know, Texas. Texas is like, fuck all this. We're going to secede. We're going to go back to being Texas. So Texas has always kind of had that attitude. California's run by criminal psychopaths. Who knows where it's headed. But I think they want us comfortable with the idea of the 50 United States of America breaking apart. I mean, they're showing us this in movies and film series and books and Obama produced Netflix movies and all this stuff. It's being made to happen. They're running public service announcements about what to do in New York City if a nuclear bomb goes off. You're like, what? What to do? What to do in New York City if a nuclear bomb goes off and you can see the mushroom cloud? Kiss your ass goodbye. I don't know what to tell you. What are you going to do? Eat your neighbors? They're filled with spike proteins, for God's sake. You can't eat your neighbors. We can't even eat our neighbors anymore. That's what COVID did. What did COVID take from you? The ability to eat your next door neighbors. That's what it did. So the USA is most definitely going to cease to exist in its current incarnation. I think that that's undeniable. I've put it in writing, in books, you know, things like that. I'm not again, it's not that I want it to happen. I'm an American. I wouldn't say I'm a proud American. I'm an American. I'm somebody that grew up in America. I am mortified at many of the things that the American empire has done on behalf of America. Horrified by it. And it's not me doing it, and it's not my decision. It's not my, But so saying that the United States is going to cease to exist in its current iteration is not anti-American. It's just pro-observation. It's just, I can see where, what trajectory we're headed on. And I can say, well, this is the path towards everything coming apart at some point. You know what I mean? We see that car that's going like 100, like those drag racer cars that go like 190 miles an hour down the straight line against another car next to it. And you can see it start to wobble. You know, it's just like halfway down the race and you see it start to wobble. You know that the entire thing is about to come apart, right? You see that wobble. Now, you can know nothing about cars, but the second you see that wobble, you go, there is something wrong with that car. That doesn't look good. And then you play it out and that thing starts to shake a little bit more. And next thing you know, the whole chassis comes off of it and the thing blows, it explodes into flames in the back. You've seen those drag racing funny cars before when they do that. You can tell that's where we are. We're a drag racing funny car who's starting to wobble. Now, in your experience watching ESPN 5 or whatever channel those drag racing shows are on, which I never set out to watch, but for some reason in my life, I must have seen this thing 1,000 times. You don't pull out of the wobble unless you completely take your foot off the gas and give up on the race. Is there anything in your observation of the United States empire over the last 20 years or so that leads you to believe that they're ever going to take their foot off the gas so that they don't crash this thing? They are a pedal to the metal type of mentality in Washington, D.C. and elsewhere, whoever controls America outside of Washington, D.C. The Vatican, the city of London, Tel Aviv, you know, places like that. So I don't think it's disrespectful to say that America isn't going to exist in the same way that it has. Hell, it's so unrecognizable from when I was fresh out of college back in the mid 90s that it might as well be, you know, the flag is the same, but everything else feels very different. And so I think that, like, when Berwick and I are writing Controlled Demolition, it's kind of a concept that you have to understand in order to see the plan clearly. And it's not a difficult concept to understand, but you just have to recognize it and put it in the back of your mind. In order for a group to create a world government in the way that they envision it, world governance, world government, however you want to frame it, you cannot have superpowers existing. Because if you have a superpower that exists, be that the Soviet Union back in the 70s, 80s, and as it broke apart in the very first part of the 90s, you have that, and you had America. Now, the Soviet Union is broken apart, and it is no longer a superpower. It's not to say that Russia doesn't have control. It certainly does of its region, but it's not thought of the same way as it used to be, which leaves the American empire as the last remaining superpower. So if you're creating a world government, and you understand that you cannot have superpowers because they're a roadblock to your world government, then you get rid of the superpowers. This is where I'm saying the concept isn't difficult to understand. It's the execution that you really need to sort of like keep your eyes on. So they want there to be no more superpowers. And since I'm in America and I'm talking about an American Civil War, don't be so quick to be dismissive of this, because understand, now it wouldn't benefit us to have a civil war. I mean, you might find some people in Texas that are like, yeah, let's get out of here. And I could probably agree with them to a certain extent, but it doesn't benefit us to have a civil war with people that we live with, that speak the same language and look like us and think similar to us and are part of America. But it does benefit the predator class to have a massive civil war in America. So again, if this were just up to us, if it were just we've decided I can't live with these libtards in Seattle and Portland and San Francisco and Los Angeles and in Chicago and mostly peaceful protests and Stunning and Brave and third bathrooms in the in all public schools in California and gender neutral toy sections and all the toy stores in California. If I come to this conclusion and I say, I can't live with these people, it doesn't mean I'm going to start a war with them. I just would have nothing to do with them. I would move away, or, you know, I just wouldn't want to interact with them. So we can solve our problems without a civil war, but the predator class cannot. And so if you're working to destroy the last remaining superpower, you would have to do that because it is a, quote, superpower, which means it has superpowers, I guess. I don't know. But because you are taking down a large wildebeest, you are going to need to come at, and you are just a bunch of hyenas, you're going to need to come at it with a bunch of hyenas from a bunch of different angles, right? So again, taking down the American empire is going to happen from every direction. So you may think, well, the best way to destroy the American empire is to cripple the dollar. I would agree with you. But they're not going to just do one thing. If they have 10 items on their list that can work to destroy the last remaining superpower, they're going to do all 10 of them. They're not going to just say, well, let's do one. And then if that doesn't work, let's move on to two. They're going to do them all. They're going to hit you from every angle. Destabilization, destroying the currency, destroying foreign policy, destroying society, mostly peaceful protests and tranny story time and all that, destabilize the education system. They can already cross that off their list. They've done that. So, but also get the people fighting with each other too in some form of civil war. Maybe they call it a civil war, maybe they don't. But if you're fighting with each other, you're not fighting them. And that is, of course, where we need to prioritize our time. The weaker the United States is, the better that is for the New World Order people. Just understand that, if nothing else. So the question is, do they plan to get us to kill each other, or are they planning on doing that? Because if they do it the right way, according to their standards, they won't have to get blood on their hands. If they can get us fighting with each other, if they can get us to do the fighting against one another, and they don't have to finance it, they don't have to get their hands dirty, that stuff, they just have to, you know, take the jar with the red and black ants and shake the shit out of it and then just put us down and watch us fight with each other. If they can do that, America collapses under the weight of its own stupidity. So again, part of this is being strategic. When we talk about civil war, understand this is a trap. This is bait that they want you to take. They want a civil war. So if they want a civil war and it doesn't benefit us, then we have to figure out ways to not walk into that trap. And they love using race. In America, race is a big thing. You know, as David Icke says, who cares what color spacesuit you're wearing? I'm wearing a white spacesuit. You're wearing a brown spacesuit. Who cares? You know, we're all just sort of consciousness inhabiting a body, and your body looks different than my body. But in the end, if we're dividing ourselves on race, that's pretty low level intelligence thinking. But have you been to Walmart? There's a lot of low level intelligence thinking going on there. So, of course, we may be able to see through all of this, but that doesn't mean that everybody else can't. And so I would expect there to be some form of racial divide here. And one of the reasons is because it's just the easiest costume to see. You know what I mean? If you've got, you know, if you've got a bunch of people that claim to be on opposite teams from one another, but they look the same, that's difficult. But we found that out in the Vietnam War. That's difficult. You go, well, that guy is a farmer, and you go, yeah, but at night he's VC. You know, he takes off the farmer outfit, takes off the sand pan, and puts on a helmet. and he's VC. And you go, well, how can we tell? They all kind of look the same. The good guys and the bad guys look the same. Well, that's a problem. So expect race to be part of this, because then you can easily see what team you're on. I mean, race is always, this is how it all gets divided in prisons. You know what I mean? You could be like, oh, I'm in the Bloods and I'm in the Crips and fuck you and you fuck you back. And oh, well, we'll settle this in prison. No, you won't. No, when you get to prison, you guys are on the same team. You're on the black team. That's how it works. So at your most tribal moments, they will sort you based on race. Just understand that. And so I would expect a component of an American Civil War to have a race element to it. And if you think that can't happen, Summer of Love 2020, you tell me. Of course, it can happen, and it did happen, but it happened because it was being financed by George Soros, who financed the Ferguson riots, and he financed Black Lives Matter. So again, it doesn't really always happen organically. It needs a spark. It needs the media. It needs Derek Chauvin on a guy's neck. It needs financing. So expect all that. You know, expect, you know, because white people, in case you haven't noticed lately, are kind of on the naughty list and have been demonized by the media, which is hilarious because it's typically usually a white newsreader reading about how terrible the white people are, which is funny. But it's being pushed, white nationalism. It can't be nationalism. You ever hear of black nationalism? Not unless you're selling bean pies, you know what I mean? Like for Nation of Islam, but like black American nationalism is not a thing. It's only white nationalism. Now, is that because that's in reality, there's only white nationalism? No, it's because it's the media, because the media is doing this. So again, expect on the surface level for it to be real low level stuff. You're black, you're Mexican, you're white, you're undetermined, but probably came in from the border. Think about 9/11. Think about the aftermath of 9/11, where dumb people that don't have a passport and have never left the United States are pulling Indian Sikhs out of 7-Elevens and beating them to death because they can't tell the difference between someone who's Islamic and somebody who's Hindu. So again, it's going to be any sort of civil war issue inside America is going to be extremely dangerous, because when you're dealing with stupid people in large numbers, it's often very dangerous. Like it's very chaotic. There's no explanation. There's no, well, my parents are from Jamaica, but I was born here. Like, shut up. I don't want to hear anything about that. You know what I mean? Like, so you're going to be dealing with the dumbest of the dumb. And look, so if we're going to talk about a potential second American Civil War, then I think we should probably, we should talk about what these triggers might look like. And just think of this, if you will, and try not to laugh. But think of Patriot Front. Do you remember the Patriot Front group that came out of the U-Haul and they were all like feds in shiny new uniforms, but they had the masks on their face and they all got arrested by the police and had them put their hands behind their back, which was weird because they never took any of their masks off. I ask you, if you were about to commit a race riot and you all had masks on your face and you were on your knees with your hands handcuffed behind or zip tied behind you, would the police leave your mask on or not? It's a yes or no question. Yeah, exactly. So it's feds pretending to be Patriot Front. And you might say, well, they're really bad at it. Yeah, they are. They're really bad at it. They always look like feds. There's a term called glowing, you know, when you're like in a Reddit room and you're like, yes, hello, fellow Redditors, let's go start some domestic terrorism. That's called glowing, right? When you just look like a fed, like you're so fed-like that you're glowing. Well, that's Patriot Front. I mean, they were glowing like crazy, but and it's like the junior varsity team at very best. I mean, it was frankly embarrassing to see them. It's like they're all marching and everything's like, if you're a bunch of good old boys, have you seen a bunch of good old boys that actually hate black people? They're not doing sit-ups like Patriot Front. You know what I mean? They should have had at least a half dozen of those guys that couldn't march properly because they were winded, you know, like bent over, kneeling, like trying to catch their breath. I would have believed it. It would have been a little bit more believable then. But the fact that these guys all look like they were straight out of Quantico was kind of a tell. But think about that. Think about domestic terrorism. Think about domestic white nationalist terrorisms. You know, you just start adding all these words onto it. Constitutionalists. I don't know if you remember the 2015 Jade Helm experiment, but I've mentioned this before. There was a video clip I watched of a local news that was interviewing people that were participating in it. They were feds that were participating in it. They weren't trying to be anything other than feds. They weren't in disguise. They were doing like some sort of training mission. And the news person was asking this guy, this fed guy who was involved in the training mission, well, what are you guys training for? What are you simulating? He said, well, you know, we're simulating going around and rounding up terrorists. And they're like, well, what kind of terrorists? He's like, domestic white nationalist terrorists, you know, constitutionalists. That's a terrorist. That's what terrorism is now. The people that believe in, I'm not some, you know, like I'm going to sleep with my pocket constitution or anything like that. But like, if the Federal Bureau of Investigation has decided that white nationalism is the greatest threat to America, and they've said that, and they're doing role play exercises where they go around rounding up constitutionalists as the bad guys in their role playing situations, then it doesn't require you to like think too deeply about this, about where it's going and how it can be used. Again, the Patriot Act made the United States the homeland. And the homeland is a battlefield. And if you are a domestic terrorist operating on the battlefield in the homeland, you have no rights. Domestic terrorist is a legal term that they put on you. It's not just slanderous. It's not like just some asshole on Twitter calling you a domestic terrorist for saying something that they disagree with. If the United States government decides that that's what you are, your rights will vaporize. January 6th people will be saying, thank God I wasn't in their situation. You understand? So this is a direction we can go. You can see the pieces to the puzzle right now. You might not understand exactly how they fit, but there is no doubt that when you see 7 million people come across the southern border in just the last 3 years under the Biden administration, and they keep referring to these people as military-aged men, and they keep saying, where are all the old abuelas? Where are all the kids? Where are all the ladies? I mean, so sure, some of them are coming up, and they hear about how they're getting raped and sexually assaulted and trafficked and all that stuff, which is obviously horrible. But there's a disproportionate number of men in this group. So if you can't understand that that is at least one of the pieces of this puzzle, then what are you looking at? This isn't America deciding to be like, oh, we're going to do a good thing and invite all these people up. No. The same exact thing is happening in Western Europe right now. Operation Gladio USA just walked across the southern border over the last 3 years. I'm just saying. Back to Jade Helm for a second. For those of you that and this was before the censorship online got really crazy, but you could have, I don't know how it is now because I haven't really looked it up, but it used to be that you could find a ton of these Jade Helm videos online. I'm sure somebody's got them, but they were talking about Walmart detention centers and turning them into, you know, showing how they were all backed up. They all had rail access and they all had this unusual, like a pit off to the side that was always filled with like almost like a little swamp. It was a very, very unusual component to it. But they were showing how Walmarts were closing. They were like, oh, this Walmart's closing for electrical reasons. And like, when will it be open? They're like, probably 9 months from now. And you're like, what? You have an electrical issue that is so bad at this Walmart that you're going to close it for 9 months or 6 months or however long they said. It didn't make any sense. From a business standpoint, it didn't add up. And then you see that the United States government, the Department of Defense, and Walmart have an arrangement, have a legally binding agreement where they can use Walmarts as camps. Okay, now maybe they won't, but they can. So again, it goes back to the Smith Modernization Act of 2012. When you start legalizing things so that you can use them, my assumption is that you will use them. Maybe not tomorrow, but at some point, because that's why you're legalizing it, because you need to use it. Part of a much bigger plan. So so I can envision a scenario in which they use Walmarts that have partnered with the federal government as food distribution centers, which are essentially become private prisons. You want food, you need water, you need whatever, go to the distribution center and get it. Where is it? It's down that hall. I got some nice dresses for you. Oh, Jimmy, I don't want to go down that hallway. I know you're going to kill me. You know what I mean? That's what it feels like. I don't know if you've seen, might have been a while since you've seen Goodfellas. But you know what I mean? It feels like a trap. Hungry people. We need food. We need water. Oh, we've got it for you right here. Yeah, but that Walmart has razor wire around the whole thing. Now, you didn't used to have that before. Oh, no, it's for your safety. Yeah. So again, I mean, it sounds crazy and preposterous, and I'm almost kind of half joking about it, but if there is a civil war, all of these things are on the table, okay? All the things that were legalized, lying, use detentions, it turned Walmarts into detention centers. I wish I had that documentation here, because I don't have it in front of me, but I wish, because I read the fucking legal document of it. And I was like, what? This can't be real, right? But it is. And, you know, you start looking back and you start thinking about things now. You go, why was the Social Security office buying 700,000 rounds of bullets? Why was the Parks Service buying grenades? Or, you know what I mean? Like all these things. And you're like, wait, that is really weird. Why were they buying billions and billions and billions of bullets? Enough bullets to put, I think I saw the over the course of a year period, the government bought enough bullets to put 7 bullets in every American or something like that. I mean, it's like, I have to ask the question, and I'm not trying to put my tinfoil hat on here, but if you want a civil war and you need an army to fight Americans, you can't expect the U.S. Army, made up of a bunch of Americans currently, to shoot other Americans. You might be able to get some psychos that are able to do that, but I think far and wide, you wouldn't be able to do that. You would have to get a different group of people to do the shooting. And I've got some ideas on who that group could be in the future, and we'll get to that towards the tail end of this episode. But I wonder, did the new brown shirts just arrive over the last 3 years from the southern border? I mean, it's a reasonable question to ask about a very unreasonable action that we've been seeing for the last 3 years. Everybody sees it. There is no, well, it looks like, so I don't know about 7 million people coming across the border. It looks more like 6.5. Fine. It's 6.5 million. Why are there 6.5 million people coming across the southern border? Is this the new army? Is this the new brown shirts? Have you been buying bullets for the Social Security Administration? Not for the Social Security Administration, but as a cover story, because you're actually arming this new group that's coming in here so that you can give them time to organize and then activate them into Gladio cells like you did back in Western Europe in the 1960s. Is that what's going on? You keep saying fighting age military men. We've got all of these very unusual gun purchase and bullet purchase programs that have been happening in the U.S. over the last 8 years. So what exactly is going on? Now, again, if it was just one of these things, when one of these things is happening, you know, you may just say, well, it's a coincidence. I mean, I did. When they were buying all these bullets, I've been watching these bullet purchases for years, asking questions like, what are they doing? Well, after you see all of these military-age men coming across the southern border, is that what they're doing it for? Maybe not. I mean, I hope not. I'm not saying that that is 100% what it is for. I'm just asking, do these two dots connect with each other? Because if they do, we collectively need to take the government that is in office right now out to the town square and hang all of them. Because what they're doing is treasonous. Okay. And again, I'm not like going to put my hand on my heart and tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree or any of that bullshit. I'm just saying these people are going to try and kill us all. If they are intentionally letting people up through the southern border in order to later arm them with guns and then tell them to go get us, I don't know. I don't know how else you could look at that. Gun control is always being pushed on us. We need more guns for Ukraine. We need more missiles for Israel. We will need more guns, bullets, and amphibious landing vehicles for Taiwan at some point, right? But gun control is a priority in America. Why? Why has gun control always been? We're the most gun-happy country in the world. We make guns. We give guns to other countries so that they can fight. But now, all of a sudden, magically, they don't want us to have guns. Why? Why does the Social Security office get a million bullets and you want to check my ID if I buy any bullets? Unless you're up to no good. I mean, are you up to no good? Because if I didn't know any better, I would think that you wanted me disarmed so that I was easier to control, right? Gun control is always being pushed. It's just a matter of degree. So am I wrong for thinking that you want me disarmed so that I will be easier to control? I mean, I don't know how else to think about that other than to say it's crystal clear to me. Otherwise, you'd be giving me a different sort of instructions. You'd be saying, we've just let 7 million people in. We don't know who they are, where they're coming from, what their intentions are. If I were you, just to be on the safe side, I'd have a gun, maybe a couple, and a bunch of bullets, just in case. We don't hear that message at all. You know what we hear? How dare you have a gun in this country? And I was always anti-gun. I have been on the wrong end of guns in my life. And I never liked them. But I'll be damned if I'm going to allow the government to disarm us. While simultaneously, they are in a huge hurry to arm everybody else. So, you know, they legalize lying and propaganda with the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012. That was done for a reason. Was COVID a test run for the Civil War PSYOP that's about to be unleashed? I don't know. Let's talk it out, shall we? Because you have to have a trigger event, right? You have to have a trigger event. Now, you could have a trigger event that is domestic or international. Let's role play this in a way that isn't kinky and costs you $175 an hour. Let's just role play it like we're just sitting around the table at the bar talking about this. Imagine if a war breaks out in the Middle East. You don't have to imagine too hard, but imagine if it breaks out and the shipping lanes are shut off in the Strait of Hormuz, in the Red Sea, and in the Gulf of Aden, which is the Gulf of Aden. Southernmost Saudi Arabia is like a peninsula that goes down. At the very end of that peninsula, you have two countries. You have Yemen and you have Oman. And right below Yemen and Oman is this area of water that's called the Gulf of Aden. That's where you're seeing the shipping ships that are going through the Red Sea. There's a choke point that's like 25 miles wide, which is really narrow in terms of international shipping, especially when you look at how important this region is. If you can cut that off, and the Houthis are from Yemen, it's a faction in Yemen, they've cut that off to Israeli ships. Anybody that is an Israeli ship or is taking products up the Red Sea and into this little port. We're not even talking about the Suez Canal. We're just talking about up into this one little area. There's like a thin little line that takes you up to a very obscure small point in Israel, a port city there. That has been, it's totally cut off. There's just nothing going on there. The Houthis won't allow it. So envision a scenario like this, where that turns into a much bigger problem. And then next thing you know, it's not just Israeli ships they won't let go through there. It's any ships. And you would say, well, I mean, it's Yemen. Surely we can just go obliterate Yemen. Yeah, maybe. But they're backed by Iran in some ways, not always. I mean, but they have financing from all kinds of places. And let's just say that's what happens. They mine the shit out of that area, and now no ships want to go through there. No ships want to. No ships can get insured to go through there. And all that oil just stops flowing. And then oil goes to $300 a barrel from where it is now, which I don't know. I haven't checked it recently. I don't know, it's 85. Triples. That triggers derivative contracts to explode. That creates a feedback loop of derivative contracts that are exploding and takes the whole banking system down. I mean, you could do it with that. If you had all of a sudden oil went to $300 a barrel and that triggered derivative contracts that all activated at the same time, you would take the banking system down. So let's just say that happened. Dollar collapse, hyperinflation, used as the justification to bring in universal basic income and a central bank digital currency, all in the aftermath of this economic calamity. Do you think that could be the justification to start a civil war? Well, it's an event. It's a major event. But I don't know. I don't know about that. I think if you want to have a civil war inside America, it has to be a domestic event. And, you know, for an actual civil war, not to be, you know, gross about this, but you would need a large enough body count in order to justify it. And you can understand this logic. I'm not saying it's a good thing, of course, but you can because you can see, as an example, World Trade Center first explosion, World Trade Center second explosion. 1993 kills what? Six people? Did we go to war in the Middle East over that? No, we did not. 2001 kills 3,000 people and does it on TV. And it's a feedback loop where we see that 8 million times for the rest of our lives. And we see the explosions and we see the rubble and we see all that. That's what you have to have. That's the reason why when I'm talking to Chris Emery, the director of the producer of A Noble Lie, we're talking about Oklahoma City. He was saying that that they switched the timing of the Oklahoma City bombing from 9 o'clock at night until 9 o'clock in the morning. And the reason why they did that was because they needed a body count. It's disgusting, of course, but that's how they think. And unfortunately, they're correct in that assumption. Because when six people die at the Trade Center, you go, oh, yikes, that's terrible, man. But when 3,000 people die and it's on camera and they instantly know who the bad guy is and they give you a place to focus your anger, the next thing you know is we're going into Afghanistan. So this is kind of how I envision some. Now, obviously, a stolen election in 2024, again, another stolen election. That'd be a hell of a trigger event, right? Could you envision a scenario in which they know they're going to steal the election? And I'm speculating on this one, but let's just run this scenario out and just pretend, because I don't actually think Joe Biden will be the nominee. But let's just say, as we stand right now, Joe Biden, who can't find his way off a stage and shits his pants with the Pope, runs for president. Again, somebody makes that calculation against Trump. They let Trump on the ballot after all this nonsense, right? Goes down to it, and Joe Biden gets 82 million votes, and Donald Trump gets I don't know, $60 million. And it's totally stolen, like it was the last time. Okay. Now, envision that scenario where you've got the Republican side, the right, essentially the right, that are all ready to go ballistic. Because it's quite obvious 82 million people didn't vote for Joe Biden. It's almost as if they need you to see how rigged it is, right? In order to get you that mad. Now, in parallel, and this is a fictional scenario, I'm pulling this out of my ass. But in parallel to this event, you have a false flag that is currently being put together in which you set off bombs someplace and you say, if we can't have this country, nobody can. And you set off a bunch of bombs all over the United States all at the same day, which of course would be the FBI doing it, but you wouldn't know that, right? It would all be MAGA Republicans, right? And it kills a bunch of people, especially kids. And they were able to, and then somebody comes out and says, that is revenge for the stolen elections that you put us through. But instead, you know, in actuality, it's like NATO doing it. Can you imagine a scenario then in which now you have Democrats looking at Republicans and going, they're a bunch of, not only do we hate them, not only do we hate their God King, Donald Trump, but now they're baby killers. And you've got domestic terrorist legislation sitting in your top drawer at the White House. In light of what we've seen recently with these MAGA extremists, domestic terrorists blowing up all of these schools all around the country and killing all these babies, I have brought forth legislation that I am going to submit to the Congress today. Death by firing squad for anybody that's, you know what I mean? You see where I'm going with this? The problem reaction solution component. You're not going to start a civil war in America because somebody's feelings got hurt. You're going to need to do it with bloodshed and a huge body count and a lot of innocent people getting killed. Now, I'm not, again, like I said from the beginning, I'm not trying to speak this into existence or give these assholes any ideas. But this is how it would happen. This is how it would unfold. You find some deep fake video, or you get some guy who's an actual Fed who's pretending, and he says, yeah, I did it. Yeah, from time to time, the tree of liberty needs to be watered with the blood of you scumbags. So I did it. I watered that tree. You know, or maybe it's a fake video with somebody that you recognize. They've made it look like he's like, well, you wait till February 11th. Or you wait till December to 22nd or something, whatever it is. You know, you just wait and have that be a fake video where the guy is like, well, we've gone through his records and we found this video of him talking about it in advance. You wait for that day. And then that's the day when everything goes. You know what I mean? Like, you have to think, you know, bombing a gay pride parade, 1,000 people are killed. You just use your imagination for this. But this is how I see it. I see it as the next phase of domestic terrorism. But the problem is, it won't be, you'll have a group of people rightly enraged, and then something horrible will happen that will be blamed on the people that are rightly enraged. And then it'll be tough to talk your way out of it. You'll say, well, yeah, of course I wanted to fucking get those people, but I didn't want to go like that. I didn't do that. We didn't ask for that. But you said you want revenge. You said this will never stand. They've stolen a second election from you. And you said, we got to make sure they don't do it a third time. So it feels like a trap. So I wonder, do people have a line in the sand? You know, you hear the stories about a certain group of people that were like, able to escape Europe in the late 30s. Things were getting weird. People were starting to get persecuted for some things. Trade unionists are getting rounded up. They're starting to make certain people wear colored stars Everything feels very different, which is the reason why my great-great-grandfather took, loaded up everything that they could carry. And in the middle of the night, they escaped to Holland, and then they got on a boat, and then they got, and then they wound up in the United States. The reason why you hear those stories is because those are the people that recognized what was going on, had a line in the sand, had a plan, and then acted on it and left. You don't hear the stories of the people that went, oh no, it's actually happening. I thought it wasn't going to happen. I thought there's no way this could actually be happening. And now I'm being resettled in the East. I'm being loaded up into a train, and now I'm frozen to death on my way to someplace else. So where's your line in the sand? Do you have one? I'll tell you what mine is. Mine is blue helmets. That's always been my line in the sand. Again, I'm not like, I'm going to stay here and defend my house, and they'll have to pry this out of my cold, dead hands. That sounds good. That sounds good in a movie. That sounds good until it's 5 minutes before you're dead. And then you're thinking, I should have left. God damn it. What am I doing? Why didn't I get out of here while I could? I said I would stay. I'm here. I got this gun. I've got 9 bullets left, and they've got 75 guys coming my way. This is the end of the road. I have those thoughts now. Not then, you know, because slow creep, utter disbelief, and normalcy bias has gotten millions of people killed. You holding on to this belief, it can't happen here. There's no way this isn't like the place where I grew up in. The place where I grew up in, this would never happen here. Therefore, it's not going to happen here. Therefore, I'm not allowing myself to acknowledge the fact that those 75 guys down there have guns and they're coming for me. This can't be happening. Well, guess what? You've got to have a plan. You got to have a line in the sand. You know, as Terrence McKenna said, if you don't have a plan, you become part of somebody else's plan. Do you feel the heat being turned up in the pot that you're in? I do. It's being slowly turned up. Do you know where the exits are? Do you know where the exits are in this aircraft? Probably don't need them. Nobody pays attention when they sit down on the plane and they're getting ready and they tell you where the emergency exits are located on the wings and the back and on the front and blah, blah, blah. No, not until that plane's going down. Then you're going, where are the exits? Too late. So, what are you waiting for? And everybody's waiting for a different thing. But in this fictional scenario in which the United States starts the process of imploding in a real way, this is a real question. Are you waiting for the bodies to be stacked up on the sidewalks? Maybe you are. Maybe that's what it takes for it to be real. I don't know. I'm not trying to say it's a dumb plan. I'm just saying, like, what is it for you? Okay. So let's say you know where the exits are. And be very careful with this Trump MAGA build the wall stuff, because walls work both ways. You know, you want the wall now to keep all the invasion force from coming in. But if Donald Trump becomes president, or somebody else becomes president, and somebody starts building the wall to keep all those people out, just understand that it keeps you in as well. So you may know where the exits are now. Are they changing? Great. Here's one part of the plan. Great. You can leave. You're free to leave. You've got what you need. You can leave. But can you stay where you're going? Have you thought about that? Do you have residency? Is that even going to matter? Do you have people you can stay with? Do you speak the language? Can you fit in? Are you going to stand out like a sore thumb? You know what I mean? Like, these are things that we should be thinking about now, not later. You know, what if you feel that you need to quickly pack up and leave right now? What are you bringing? Crypto's super easy to move. You know, you don't get it out. You don't have to go to the security deposit box that you have at your bank, which, by the way, is the pro- property of the bank. They'll just pry that thing open and take everything that's in there because it's theirs. So crypto is real easy to move. So is gold and silver. Silver, obviously, gets heavier the more you have. And cash works until it doesn't. Then what? What if you have Deutschmarks, but it takes a wheelbarrow full of them to be worth anything? Now what? Bullets never lose value. I don't think alcohol does either. Have some of that. You can always trade with people. It reminds me of the story that Catherine Austin Fitz always talks about. Now, she does not love crypto, but she does like gold and silver, and says you've always got to have a gold coin in order to bribe the border guard on your way out. You know what I mean? She's not wrong about that. So maybe this is the time to have this thought exercise where you think about, like, well, what is this going to look like? And what do I have? And what do I need? And where am I going? And who's going to take me in? And how long can I stay? And can I stay? And will they round me up? Am I far enough away from the stuff? Can I take my pets? Can I take my ailing mother? Can I take, you know, like all these things? And, you know, and you go, oh, that'll never happen. Hopefully it never happens. Yes. I hope this is the most worthless macroaggressions episode you have ever listened to. I hope all of this is nonsense. But what if it's not, though? Unfortunately, like, again, if it were just the people's choice, I wouldn't be so worried. You know, if it was just like, well, you got to have to get all the Democrats to fight with all the Republicans and all the trans people, and all, you know what I mean? You get all these people fighting against one another, and everyone's got their own stuff going on. They're too busy to do all that stuff. And that's not going to happen. You're right. If it were all up to just the people to kickstart this whole thing. But we know that's not going to be the way it is. It will be the government will make it happen. So I don't have to even like the opposite side, you know, the pronoun people and all that stuff. I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about their response to what the government does. That's what I'm worried about, is that they'll get whipped up into a frenzy. You know, I don't know if we can put a percentage on something like this, you know, but like, you think that the system is so expertly built that it'll never fall down. And I'm here to tell you, it's held together with duct tape and gum. I mean, what happens when the just-in-time supply chain food delivery system to grocery stores breaks down? And food stops showing up in stores. We have a 3-day supply. You see what happens when there's a hurricane coming. Places get cleaned out. And people buying everything except the fake meat. And hungry people are very dangerous, obviously. So is this something we've considered? You know, we live in a totally different world than our parents lived in. And you know, the idea that you're just going to like, oh, well, I'll just go to Mexico. Okay. You're going to have to ditch all your U.S. electronics just to be safe, because they'll be tracking you. You know that, right? You got to take all that shit and throw it away. You have to basically disappear or they'll find you. All of these people haven't thought, I mean, the idea that we're going to think like 3 or 4 steps ahead here, people aren't even thinking 1 step ahead. I have said that my line in the sand is when United Nations Blue Helmets troops arrive and UN peacekeeping, United Nations, Rockefeller founded groups, whenever they arrive on the scene, sexual assaults follow, trafficking follows, including human trafficking and organ trafficking, and of course, sexual children trafficking and all that horrible shit. That's what the United Nations does. And on top of that, listen, it's easier for a South Korean UN peacekeeper to shoot a white American than it is for a white US National Guardsman to shoot a white American. We understand that. Okay. International troops on American soil in a quote peacekeeping capacity should worry you. Okay. It should worry you. That should be your line in the sand. If you don't have a line in the sand, feel free to borrow mine. If it's international troops on American soil in a peacekeeping role, if that's what, when you see that, you go, we're out of here. I get it. You know, I have a small voice in this thing. Like, in the grand scheme of things, like, I'm a nobody. Go read something or listen to people talk about what happened in the Stalinist regimes in Russia and what happened in Cambodia with Pol Pot, when they just ran out of people to murder and didn't even know what the criteria was for murdering people, that they were killing people wearing glasses just because they looked educated, whether they were or not, because the plan was to kill everybody that was educated. So, like, if you think you're going to talk your way out of this, you're going to wind up in a pit. Understand this. There's no, oh, I'll explain it to them. And then, you know what I mean? They'll figure this out. You need to be on the run as soon as something like this happens. The United Nations has an army, okay? And things go bad in a hurry. And communication breaks down all over the place whenever there's wars. And the next thing you know, you're being taken out back and shot by the United Nations. Okay. They run the World Health Organization. So just envision medical martial law instead. If that makes you, if you go, well, they would never put overt troops on the ground. Fine. The United Nations will then use its tentacle, the World Health Organization, to declare medical martial law and do it that way. So I when I see the southern border wide open and I hear that there's 7 million people coming across that border, not all men, of course, but you start to hear disproportionate number of military aged men, I consider this to be the empire's new batch of stormtroopers. Don't you? Why else would they be here? So let's talk about who takes the blame for throwing the first punch here. Because I think that what they'll do is they'll just blame conservatives on this one. And the reason why I think that they'll blame conservatives is there's a couple reasons. First is because the left controls the media. And that's the easiest way to do it. Whoever has the access to the loudest voice, the mainstream media, will be able to set the narrative. And as we saw with 9/11, the first person to say who did it is who did it, no matter what, right? They go, well, you know, it's Osama bin Laden. They go, fine, done. 15 minutes later, it's like, how can we blow him up? Like, would you like to conduct a thorough investigation? No, we're good. All right, well, so I can envision a scenario in which the second American Civil War is talked about by the media constantly, the leftists, Democrats that control the media. And the only explanation they give is that it was conservatives, constitutionalists, the people that blew up all those things, you know, that was actually NATO, but would be pinned on them. And anybody that they can tie to being conservative, a term so broad that just about anybody can fit into that. You have conservative values. Are you a Christian? Well, that's conservative. You're essentially wearing glasses. Are you a Christian? Yes, but I'm not a conservative. You've got glasses on. We're shooting you. I mean, if Trump is in office, or if Trump is running, and they prevent him from being the president, even though he wins the election, and they do all that stuff, clearly he'll be blamed for it. I mean, insurrection too, electric boogaloo, right? We know that. His family will be blamed for it. His pets. Blame his pets for it. I mean, anybody and connected to him will be blamed for it. Anybody that is a follower of the Bill of Rights or the Constitution, or who owns a gun, or is perceived to be in flyover country, meaning, you know, the sort of middle America area, they'll just say, oh, you guys must be Trump supporters. You know, there's not going to be much sorting and distinguishing here. So I don't know. it feels like as I see this, if I put on my tinfoil hat and I look into the future, I see illegal immigrants coming from the southern border, then being put in places, however they get there, whether it's because of Texas doing it or they're just, or the feds doing it, winding up in places like New York City and Chicago. And then the residents in Chicago, the black residents of Chicago, getting mad at their black mayor of Chicago and saying, how dare you prioritize these illegals over us? We're supposed to be the priority here. And now you've made them the priority here. And you know what I feel when I see that? I see that they are generating resentment. They are manufacturing it. You can watch it. How come they get treated better than we get treated? First of all, why are you sitting around waiting for a handout from the state? You're getting treated exactly the way you deserve to be treated, by the way. To the black community that's out there sitting around waiting for a handout from the state and then acting, throwing your hands up in the air saying, how dare these illegals be treated better than us? What did you think was going to happen? The state is using you. Stop being used by them. But you can understand how this resentment is building. You know, you can feel it. You can feel it. It's us versus them. So, you know, I often think back to what Yuri Bezmenov talked about with regard to this, these four steps to ideological subversion, the first step being demoralization, and that being a 20-year process. When Yuri and Ed Griffin are talking about this in the 70s, you're talking about this 20-year process, the one thing that they never really mention in it is, when does the clock start on the 20-minute or the 20-year calendar, right? It's not a set in stone, 20, 25 years, whatever, 15, 20, 22 years, whatever. What if you started that clock on September 10th, and you ran step one of Yuri's four steps of ideological subversion? Step one, demoralization. It's a 20-year period, and you started it right before 9/11, and it takes you all the way to COVID. Would that work? Would you be able to bookend it there for 20 years? After COVID ends, then you start step two. It's a 5-year process, the destruction phase. What happened after COVID? Environmental, social, and governance, ESG, DEI, race riots, Black Lives Matter. This is most definitely the destruction phase. 5 years of that. Maybe we're in it. Maybe our calculator didn't start. Maybe we started our calculator too early for Yuri. Maybe we're in the destruction phase. Maybe we haven't even gotten to step three, the crisis yet. What's the crisis? That's the question. Because we know step four is normalization. And what the fuck does America look like in the normalization process after the crisis? We've made the assumption that the crisis was COVID or that the crisis was 9/11. What if those two were just part of that first 20-year process of demoralization? We haven't even gotten to the crisis yet. We are witnessing the controlled demolition of the American empire. Undeniable. All empires end. Call it a fourth turning. Call it the end of the Roman Empire. Call it the end of the American empire. Whatever you want. Call it WrestleMania at the end, where everybody's in the ring swinging folding chairs at each other. That's where we are. Get your folding chair. Get your popcorn. The show's about to begin. If you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. You can rate the show if you'd like. If you think I've done a good job, give me 5 stars and subscribe to the show. You can follow me on Twitter @macroaggressions. Take care, everybody. Talk to you again soon.